KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 70 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy here today, a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. Storms that pounded southwestern Iowa overnight and early this morning caused flash flooding in Clarinda and Shenandoah. The National Weather Service reports Clarinda had 5.27 inches of rain, with as much as 2 inches of water covering the roads at times. Shenandoah also reported flash flooding on Highway 48 and other roads at around 5:15 a.m. after 4.38 inches of rain fell on that community. Bedford reported 4.22 inches. Villisca had 3.22, 3 miles northeast of Essex. 3 inches was reported. Emerson had 2.85. Messina recorded 1.69 inches of rain, while here at the KJAN studios in Atlantic, we picked up 1.6 inches. And the Taylor County community of Blockton had 2.48 inches of rain fallen overnight and early this morning. A flash flood watch remains in effect until 10 a.m. for 9 area counties, basically south of Cass, with flash flood warnings in effect until 10:30 a.m. for Page County and until 11:45 a.m. for Taylor County. A former Western Iowa physician accused of molesting young patients years ago has surrendered his state medical license. The Des Moines Register reports 82-year-old Wing Tai Fung recently surrendered his medical license, according to documents that were released Wednesday by the Iowa Board of Medicine. The documents also say Fung has agreed to pay a $10,000 fine. Fung, who is now of Ontario, Canada, pleaded guilty earlier this year to assault with intent to commit sexual abuse and indecent contact with a child, both of which are misdemeanors. A criminal complaint accused Fung of molesting a 10-year-old girl in January of 1999 while treating her for a knee sprain at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. He received a sentence of probation and must register as a sex offender in Iowa. The Atlantic Police Department Wednesday issued a clarification with regard to the arrest of a Cumberland woman earlier this week on a charge of second-degree theft. Police Chief Steve Green said in a statement, "As a result of an internal investigation conducted by Hy-Vee loss prevention personnel and in collaboration with an investigator with the Atlantic Police Department, Tiffany Lillard of Cumberland was arrested for theft in excess of $9,800 that she allegedly perpetrated over a period of several months." Green said the charge alleges that Lillard falsely showed that she was charging prescriptions to nursing homes when, in actuality, she was simply diverting Hy-Vee store funds to gift cards for her own use. Green concluded by saying that no patient accounts or nursing homes were ever falsely charged and that only internal funds belonging to Hy-Vee were diverted. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday passed a resolution approving the contract and bonds for the pedestrian bridge and connector trail projects. Snyder & Associates engineer Dave Sturm said the action was needed to proceed with the projects. It was merely a formality. The council also approved a change order for the Highway 6 or 7th Street project with regard to traffic controls at 7th and Olive and 7th and Plum Streets. Mayor Dave Jones explained that the existing and often troublesome loop detector system that triggers the stoplights at those intersections will be replaced with a more modern method of controlling traffic.
And basically what this is, they're going to have wireless control for traffic signals. You got to do some minor things underneath to think what it is. So we're not going to have to worry about it. Now they got wire running to the highway, and they redo all the wires, it's going to cost a fortune. They're going to put these wireless things in so they can control a lot better for controlling the traffic lights.
The wireless system will include 4 cameras that monitor traffic flow and vehicles at those two intersections. It costs $48,850, with the state's share amounting to $18,800. They're not intended to serve as the controversial red light cameras that motorists in other cities receive tickets for in the mail if they blow through a stoplight. In other business, City Administrator John Lund reported applications are being accepted until July 30th for a part-time administrative assistant. Applications may be filed at City Hall. Lund also said work on the Highway 6 or 7th Street project continues.
And in spite of the rain, he said they are on schedule, and he'll give us a progress report within the next couple of weeks on how things are going.
The Cass County Board of Supervisors yesterday passed a resolution calling for the securing of a loan to refinance the purchase of a county-owned building across the street from the courthouse. Their action will save the county about 2.5% in interest and about $8,000 over the course of the loan. The move followed a public hearing during which there were no written comments or members of the public in attendance, for that matter. Supervisors Gaylord Schilling and Mark Wedemeyer mentioned that most of the persons who asked questions about the loan were in favor of refinancing once they learned it would be saving the county money.
Well, I think people say it's a good idea because we're saving money, so good idea by Mark.
Yeah, I had a few calls. So it wasn't published what we were saving and wondered why we were doing that.
In other business, Cass County Engineer Charles Marker updated the board on current projects, which include the lining of some rusted out pipes located under certain paved roads.
One of those locations was G30, the airport road clear out by Indian Creek. The second one was down on G43, just west of N28, so that'd be a little bit northwest of Cumberland. And the other one is on the paved road south of Anita going over to Adair County, the Canby Road, they call it.
Denco Construction out of Mingo worked on those projects with assistance from the Secondary Roads Department. Work was underway putting bags under the liners in preparations for the pouring of concrete or flowable mortar, as Marker called it, between the liner and the old pipe. Afterward, he said it's simply a matter of grading the inlets and outlets for the pipe. Marker said lining the pipes is much more cost-effective than tearing up the road to replace the pipe, and it's long-lasting. He said also that Cunningham Reese out of Van Meter is working on installing the components for a new bridge on the Cass County Landfill Road.
That is a three-segment bridge, so you have two sets of piers. They have driven the east set of piers, which consists of 5 to 7 piling, and once you get those piling in, then you encase the piling so that debris does not damage the steel. So they are currently getting ready to encase those pilings, and that project is continuing out there on the landfill road.
And a pre-construction meeting with AM Coron is slated to take place next Tuesday with regard to the Griswold Golf Course Bridge project. The anticipated start date for that project, according to Marker, is August 3rd.
We are working on the dirt road just south of the golf course. We've been able to shape it up a couple of times. We want to shape it up one more time, that way we'd have the ditches on each side and have it high enough that if we put rock on it, hopefully it'll stay high and dry.
Immediately after that pre-construction meeting is held, another pre-construction meeting will be held, this time with PCI out of Minnesota. They're the contractor responsible for work on the Troublesome Creek Bridge northeast of Atlantic.
We had it in last year's projects to just do patching on it, but when we did the sounding, we found out there were too many areas to justify just doing patchwork. It's cheaper to actually do an overlay. So we will know, talking to them, exactly when they're starting work.
Marker says they're tentatively expected to begin work on the project at the end of this month. And Hy-Vee food stores are recalling one of their products because of a packaging mix-up, incorrectly labeling macaroni salad as potato salad. A company spokesperson said the 3-pound containers of Hy-Vee American macaroni salad was incorrectly labeled and may contain undeclared milk and wheat or gluten products. According to the company, the recalled product is labeled as Hy-Vee American macaroni salad on the lid, but Hy-Vee Dijon mustard potato salad on the tub. The product is actually Hy-Vee American macaroni salad containing milk and wheat gluten ingredients, which are not declared on the tub. Macaroni salads are typically sold in the ready-to-eat section of refrigerated cases. The packaging is a frosted clear tub with a black plastic lid. The recalled product has a best if used by date of July 31st of 2015 and a product lot code of 15177D. You can find those on the side of the frosted clear tub. D&D Foods distributed the salads and sent them to 236 grocery stores in the Midwest, including all of Iowa and Illinois' Hy-Vee stores. The macaroni salads were also sent to Hy-Vee stores in Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. Now, there have been no illnesses reported in connection with the mix-up. If you bought this mismarked macaroni salad, you can simply return it to your local Hy-Vee store for a full refund. If you have any questions about the recall, you can call the Hy-Vee customer care representatives anytime at 800-772-4098. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.